Let's go to our text this morning, this evening, Genesis chapter 5, verse 24, and then Hebrews 11, chapter 11, verse 5. So let's go to Genesis chapter 5, verse 24 first. Okay. Oh Lord our God, we come to Thee. Will you please inspire our minds so that we can clearly draw the truths of Thy holy word and grant us the grace to apply them tonight and the rest of our lives. Lord, would you please hide me behind Thy cross that you'll be seen and strongly felt that you are the one speaking to us and with all our spiritual needs. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Genesis chapter 5, verse 24. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And then Hebrews 11. Verse 5. And we will continue to read later. That's why I want you to keep Hebrews 11 on verse 17 and 19 later. So Hebrews 11, verse 5. By faith, Enoch was taken so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. He pleased God. Now, going back to Hebrews 11, let's move on verse 17 to 19. This is now the faith of Abraham as well. Okay, so the same chapter, Hebrews 11. We'll now jump to verse 17 to 19. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called, concluding that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead. From which he also received him in a figurative sense. Amen. Now, as we all recall about our biblical knowledge about Abraham in the Old Testament, let's remember that Abraham's obedience took a tremendous or a greater amount of faith. He was willing to obey God because he believed God and his promises that God could raise the dead, even though he had never before seen the dead raised to life. He believed God was true to his promises or to his word, and character that if he had made a promise, he would even raise the dead to keep it. Therefore, is it any wonder he is the greatest human model of our faith today? Remember, his first name was called Abram, the father of all nations. Yeah? And it was changed to Abraham. And through Abraham, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. And that's a very great historical part of history, even around the world, that history could not forget the influence of Abraham's faith. So we'll just briefly, first of all, think about Abraham's faith in Hebrews 11, 17 to 19. As we have read, that by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and who had received the promises, offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac's seed shall be called. In Isaac your seed shall be called, concluding that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from which he also received him, in figurative sense. The only son, the son that Abraham had in his later stage of his life. Can you imagine that when you're old, I mean, at the age of 99 years old, and even his wife laughed when the angel of God that told Abraham that his wife will bear a son at an old age. Who would believe that today? Even though sometimes we pray, I think there are prayer requests for, even in our present situation, for God to give them son or daughter. But sometimes doubts creep in, whether, especially when some medical problems have come into the experience of a couple and still find it difficult. Sometimes it stares them every day without a child. But Abraham, when he was granted that son, it came, which is Isaac, came at an old age. And praise God, they believed God that they were, and they have a son, Isaac. And of course, God tested their faith to offer this only son in the sacrifice, to offer him as a sacrifice. But the scripture says that even when he was ready to lift that knife, God held his hand and stopped him. And God saw in Abraham's faith and obedience and selfless sacrifice to offer that son. He did not withhold that son precious to him. He gave it and was ready to trust that knife. But God held his hand. Instead of allowing that only precious son to die, God provided a lamb in the thick of that bush, around the bush, God provided a lamb in replacement of his son. And that lamb pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ as the real lamb who takes away the sins of the world. So the Apostle Paul also commented on Abraham's faith. Those who are of faith are sons of Abraham, the Bible says, according to Genesis or Galatians chapter 3, verse 7 and 9. Those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. Anyone who lives by faith in God is in a spiritual sense a son of Abraham. He is the father of the faithful. The account of Abraham tells us that a man can go through the severest trial, as he did face in offering his son, can face trial of life that you can imagine. But if we trust God, believing that he will keep his promises and accomplish his purposes without making a mistake, and that God accomplished in the life of Abraham. And he counted his faith as righteousness. Can you imagine traveling from Haran into a known country without knowing where he's going to go. He just obeyed God to leave his country and bring his own family. But God provided a way. God instructed him until he went to the promised land. Secondly, in our text that we have read in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5, with which we can look back, it says, by faith, who is the second character of the heroes of faith in chapter 11, by faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. That is the greatest testimony that is written from that day on, that God was pleased with Enoch. So our second hero of faith is Enoch. According to Genesis 5, verses 21 to 24, let's go back to that. Chapter 5, verse 21, let's go back to Genesis. It says that Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. After he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. Imagine the length of time that he walked with God and he pleased God in all his life. So that all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God that he was not, for God took him. That's a tremendous experience with a man who pleased God. He's the only one that, at this instance, that God had raised him up. He did not experience death. God took him in heaven. And to us, that should be an encouragement. When we please God in our lives, we will never think or fear about the future. We will enjoy every moment of our lives in his presence. So, in that reference of Genesis 5:24, records that Enoch lived 65 years and became the father of Methuselah. Then Enoch walked with God 300 years after he became the father of Methuselah, and he had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. What a wonderful remembrance of how you live. He was remembered with this statement on verse 24. Enoch walked with God. Is there any better epitaph or words that you want to put in your tomb when you die that people can remember you about? You don't have to write it down, but people can remember how you invested your life to them, how you spend time with people to share the only message that matters to you. There's no other message here on earth that matters to you, which is the gospel of the saving grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Enoch walked with God. His life exemplifies or typifies the walk of faith. Adam and Eve had walked with God in the Garden of Eden, but their sin separated them from such privilege of intimate fellowship with God. Enoch experienced the fellowship with God they had never experienced, or because they forfeited that privilege because of sin. But Enoch's faithful walk with God pleased God greatly. And after more than 300 years on earth, Enoch was translated to heaven. You know what? He was brought to heaven without ever experiencing death. What an encouragement that should actually encourage ourselves. Even though we will not be translated in the same way as we did, as he was translated, Enoch was translated, but the Bible says, the Lord Jesus reminds us, I have prepared a place for you, he said to his disciples. I will not tell you this truth if it were not so, he said. So it's a truth. We will arrive at the same place that Enoch was brought in the presence of God. Do you understand this? Do you, this is our great inheritance in the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes we don't want to meditate upon death. We are not here forever in this world. Somehow, we are probably blessed with 65 years, 75 years, 85 years. If God be pleased with us, he may increase it to 95 years or 100 years, God willing. But one of the great preachers of Scotland, which Robert McChain, his life ended at the age of 29. And people who knew him, they were really sad that he died at that age of tremendous strength. That it is at the prime age of his career as a preacher dedicated to God. His every sermon was printed, I think, and was used by God throughout the world. I don't know how many books he has written, but his sermons were printed in such a way that the Word of God had reached thousands upon thousands of people who were saved because of the preaching, of the power of preaching, of the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. When God translated Enoch to heaven without experiencing death, it is as if God simply said, Enoch, I enjoy your company so much. I want you to join me up there right now in heaven. What a tremendous promise this is. This must be a life-changing experience for Enoch. Like Enoch, there is coming a generation of Christians who will never see death. Perhaps there will be. We don't know. Perhaps there are already some Christians who died, who were taken up to glory. Someday, perhaps soon, Jesus will return for his church. And then we who are alive shall remain, shall be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord, according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, chapter 4, verse 17. Enoch is a beautiful picture of that great future event, which we shall call the rapture of the church. As you walk with God, each one of us, he delights to every one of his people, especially in the matter of communing with God in prayer and meditating upon his word. I pray that our time together, even although we are few in this great exercise of grace, we continue to deepen our desire and our enjoyment in communing with God. You are His child, we are His children, and your praises, our praises and fellowship bring joy to God. So, Elba, so whenever we are asked to say our praises, let's be ready to say the praises that we should say in behalf of God and for His glory. That is good, and stirring up our faith with one another in saying the premise, the joy of knowing that God has blessed us in our prayer, in our time in prayer with Him and His holy word. Psalm 16 says, or 116 says, verse 15, precious is the sight of the Lord, is the death of His godly ones. Death simply ushers each one of us into His presence for all eternity. So it's not the end of everything. It is a privilege to be brought into that place of being promoted. It's a day of promotion to be in the glorious place of God when He comes and put us to His glory. Some people doesn't want to use that word death, but the death of a Christian is a promotion to Christ, to God's glory. And lastly, the third thought about Enoch's faith is that walking with God includes our reconciliation, our obedience from the heart, and ongoing faith. When the scripture speaks of walking with God, it is referring to one's manner of life. Remember, it's not just sufficient to say, I want to walk with God. That's a very general statement. But we must base our walking with God with a fuller and mature knowledge of our being reconciled with God, and an obedience that speaks of the true desires of the heart to commune with God in prayer and meditating upon His word, so that it will show a stable, ongoing, fruitful faith with God. For example, Paul prayed that the Colossian believers, that includes us as well, would be filled with the knowledge of God, God's will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so they could live, or they could walk or live in a manner worthy of the Lord. That's in Colossians 1, 9 to 10. To the Ephesians, in Ephesians 4, verse 17, and chapter 5, verse 1 and 2, this is what Paul thought of the Ephesians. He exhorted them to walk no longer just as the Gentiles walk in sin, or in the futility of their mind. But, he said, as we studied already in chapter 5 of Ephesians in our prayer meeting, but be imitators of God, he said, as beloved children, and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you. That should be our testimony, that we should be imitators of God. Not in the sense that we are like gods, as some try to do, but we are imitators of God because we are children of God, and we want to commune with our God, and we want to experience His, our delight in communing with Him, and in His delight in welcoming us in His presence. That's why we should be imitators of God, because God is holy, and He cannot coexist in sin. In other words, He doesn't want us to practice sin as a regular habit. Because as Christians, we should, in our daily and ongoing maturity in the knowledge of God's grace and His mercy, sin should not become our daily practice. It should actually detach us gradually from practicing sin and hate sin. And this is the work of God's grace to us. It's a part of the ongoing, progressive sanctification of every believer. So the Old Testament describes Enoch as a man who walked with God. Can that be described of us? Well, we don't have to display it. It is shown in our testimony on a daily basis. And we will be remembered if we are indeed walk with God by others. Though relatively little is said about this special man of God, we can derive some special thoughts from his life that will help us better understand what it means to walk with God. First, Enoch walked with God. It implies our reconciliation with God, with our Lord Jesus Christ. Without that reconciliation, you cannot say we walk with God, because there's no basis of event that it took place. That we should be first reconciled with our God through our Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Amos chapter 3 verse 3 says, Do two walk together unless they have agreed to do so? Do two walk together unless they have agreed to do so? Two people can have intimate fellowship unless they agree. Obviously, Enoch wasn't rebellious toward God, but had been reconciled with him through faith. And secondly, walking with God implies loving service. There must be a desire to serve God in living for him. Living for him is absorbed or displayed in serving him. In 2 John chapter 6, it says, this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. See, that is the expression of our love. Our Lord Jesus said, those who love me are those who do my commandments, who apply my commandments. We obey Christ, but our obedience is motivated by loving him, by his love, in loving him. Remembering that God first loved us before we love him. We cannot love God without experiencing the love of Christ, the agape love of God, which is without any precondition whatsoever. God loved us despite of our many sin. And this is the true agape love of God. He loves us despite of our multitude of sin. And he requires us as well to show our obedience, our love, by obeying his commandments, not by legalism or fear of punishment, but because it is out on the ongoing work of the Holy Spirit in our lives to call unto him and seek him with all our heart, and love the Lord thy God with all our heart, soul, body, mind, and strength. And then thirdly, a godly walk implies continuing faith. In other words, faith that is ongoing, and it is shown in the way that we show it in our prayer, in the way that we read the Word of God and share it with others. It becomes a lively faith. It is an ongoing faith that is progressive and never turns back to the old way. For we walk on the basis of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith. By grace, Enoch believed God and pleased him all his life. You see, it is one thing to be saved by grace through faith. But it is another thing to please God and be and experiencing his grace on a daily basis. Grace that can sufficiently meet all our needs. All our needs, particularly our spiritual needs and other various needs as secondary things. It is very important at this point that if we don't experience the desire like Enoch, by grace, Enoch believed God and pleased him all his life. If we are not experiencing this type of fellowship with God and walking with God and pleasing him, at this point it's very important to make it a daily need on a daily basis. This kind of pleasing God does not just happen. It is submitting our will to God and only follow his will. Just like our Lord Jesus, when he was hanging on that cross, he was saying and praying, "Father, remove this cup from me, if it is possible." The cup of that suffering. And yet, he said in his prayer, last prayer of his breath, "Father God, yet not my will be done, but thine own will." That is the mark of a believer that pleased God all his life. It is like our Lord Jesus Christ, who pleased his Father all the days of his life without sin. But of course, we cannot live without sin because we are still in this wicked world. But God can enable us not to practice sin on a daily basis and please him by drawing to God in prayer. Seek the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, body, and strength. And love our neighbor as ourselves. Do those who know us, who know you best, see you as one who walks with God? I'll repeat that question. Do those who know us best see you as one who walk with God? The one who says he abides in him owe himself to walk the same manner as you walk. 1 John 2. Let's pray that in our prayer we must praise God. Let's praise God with joy for granting the reconciliation, the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and love that enable us to experience our salvation and to walk with him on a daily basis. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word. We thank you for the life of Abraham, who pleased thee, who walked and surrendered his son to you, in which he was tested. And thank you, Lord, that by obeying you, you counted it as righteousness in obeying you. And thank you for Enoch as well, who was remembered that he walked with God and pleased him and pleased God all the rest of his life. Father God, it is our prayer, Lord, that our prayer, that only the faith that Abraham displayed and Enoch also experienced by surrendering his life, that he walked with you closely and pleased you. Will you please help us, Lord, that our prayer at this moment, that you will please give us a life of seeking thee with all our heart, that we might have a holy, delightful fellowship with thee in our holy communion with thee. And grant, Lord, that we will please, help us to live a holy and righteous life that will please you. Although this is difficult, Lord, we cannot do it in our strength, would you please do it in our individual heart? In Jesus' name, amen.